So, we have children's church. Where is Bella? Bella? She's right there. Bella is going to turn 8 years old this week. Happy birthday, Bella. So, yes, children, you can go with Mrs. Allison to children's church. Well, good morning. I hope you all are well wide awake now. I'm nice and tired. I actually did not sleep well last night. I'm like, of all the days. But, you know, we're here, and God is present with us this morning, and that's what's good. My message this morning is called Kingdom Prayer, and it's going to be based on this text from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, which we're going to read in a moment. But everything about this message is going to be me trying to encourage you and convince you and even challenge you to make praying the Lord's Prayer a regular daily prayer of yours. After all, Jesus does say, when you pray, pray like this. Maybe we ought to just take Jesus seriously. But I'll trust you need other reasons too, so allow me to indulge myself this morning. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Father God, we are in your presence this morning, and we are thankful that you have filled us with your Son, Jesus, with his life, that you've given us new life in Christ, bringing us back from dead, being dead in our sins and transgressions, and forgiving our sins, giving us life, the promise of eternal life with you, and giving us your Spirit so that we can live out this life. God, as we open your word this morning, we pray that our eyes and ears can be open to see and hear, to be attentive to the life that you call us to live as followers of your Son, Jesus. And I pray again that you'll give me the gift of preaching from your Spirit so that your word can be preached this morning with grace and with truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So he, that's Jesus, by the way, said to them, well, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no bread or no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though I will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, teach us to pray. That's a novel request. we won't take a show of hands here, but dollars to donuts, most of us, if not all of us, including myself, were never taught how to pray. We were taught to pray, but probably never taught how to pray. And yet we all do pray, at least I hope we do, because we know that praying matters, right? Unfortunately, though, we have Jesus who is more than willing to teach us how to pray. So Jesus tells us, when you pray, say, because this is how we should pray. In other words, Jesus said, hey, you want to know how to pray? Here's how. Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. That's how Jesus begins this prayer. We're not praying to some unknowable God, nor are we just engaging in a bunch of woo-woo. We're talking to the God who created the heavens and the universe, the earth, who gave us life, the God who spoke our very life into existence by his word, and the God who is redeeming our life by his very spoken incarnate word, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Might sound strange, though, to say, Father, hallowed be thy name. We live in a day when we're just used to repeating canned phrases with prayer. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, says the PR spokesperson. I'm sending prayers and good vibes, sends a friend on social media. I'm not sure what people mean by these phrases. Perhaps they do offer a prayer, but the cynic in me wonders, and I've never been prone to bouts of optimism. I'm pretty cynical. Regardless, such phrases just seem to be about what we do. And what we do is always weak. Whereas praying, as Jesus is teaching us, there is no weakness because we're praying to God the Father in heaven. And he's not weak. So why we revere the Father as holy? Because there is no one else like him. And we revere him as holy, knowing that there's no one else like him, with a desire for his kingdom, because when his kingdom comes, things are good. When his will is done on earth as it is in heaven, things are good. I don't know anyone who believes in God that wouldn't like to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will done in our lives as it is in heaven. God's will done in this church as it is in heaven. And things are just better, much better, when God's will is done. And what Jesus teaches us about prayer involves praying what we know as the Lord's Prayer. It's also found in the Gospel of Matthew, as well as this early Christian writing that's called the Didache, which just means the instruction or the catechism of the faith. The Didache is one of the earliest Christian writings that we have that's not in the Bible. In fact, the only reason it's not in our Bible is when the church, guided by God's Spirit, decided what we're going to include in the canon of the New Testament. One of the criterions was that every writing that will be included has to be known to be written by an apostle or close known associate of the apostle, and we just don't know who wrote the Didache. It met every other criterion, the criterion that it's used in all the major churches, and that we agree that it teaches the apostolic faith, the faith that Jesus taught his apostles, that's been preached. We just don't know who wrote the Didache. But this instruction was used in all of the churches as a way of teaching people about the Christian faith. And part of that instruction was teaching people to pray the Lord's Prayer. Because the earliest Christians knew that this is the way God's people should pray. And the reason Christians have regularly prayed this prayer throughout history is because it's a formative prayer. Prayer isn't just about what we're asking, but about what God is also doing with us when we pray. It's a kingdom prayer, and so it helps keep our heart's desire set on God's kingdom, because what we desire is what we will pursue. Just think about that for a moment. What we desire is what we will pursue. When I was about 28 years ago, when I was willing to start dating my wife, I was the one actually that asked her out first. But when I was willing to start dating my wife, I did so. You know why? Because I wanted to. For the same reason that you who are married started dating your spouse a long time ago. Because you wanted to. What you desire is what you will pursue. You go into a restaurant, you order a hamburger not because you wanted to order pizza, but because you wanted to order a hamburger, right? You look through the menu, and whatever your heart is craving, you order, unless you're on some sort of diet and you actually have the discipline to say no to your desire, which sometimes is a great thing. My whole point is, whatever we desire, we will pursue. And praying the Lord's Prayer has everything do with Jesus teaching us how to desire God's kingdom so that we can follow him as participants in the kingdom of God. As Brendan Byrne writes, the community that prays the prayer sees itself as a beachhead of the kingdom in the present world, reclaiming its life and humanity. We're reclaiming God's kingdom upon this world by praying it, this prayer, because it's hard to pray a prayer and not follow what you're praying for. But I want to tell you, church, we can't pray or we can't pursue life in God's kingdom while pursuing other ways of life. The writer of the Hebrews describes this kingdom pursuit as a foot race, saying, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The last time I checked, it's impossible to run two foot races at the same time. Some people might try, as strange as that is, but it's impossible to run two foot races at the same time. And our pursuit of God's kingdom involves praying like Jesus teaches. So call me simple, but when Jesus says, pray like this, and begins to pray this prayer, perhaps we should just take Jesus seriously and pray this prayer, because if we really want to run this race, then this prayer matters. As we seek after God and his kingdom through prayer, Jesus teaches us how to petition God for living as participants in his kingdom. We pray for our daily bread, which is about asking God to give us our daily needs, to supply us with our needs, as well as asking God to forgive us just as we forgive others, and deliver us from any temptations or tests that would hinder us from living as participants in God's kingdom. Praying the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer that goes unanswered. No, just as surely as a friend will give us some bread when we are persistent, God will give us what we need to follow Jesus as participants in his kingdom. Jesus is adamant that the Father will hear and respond. As Jesus says in verses 9 and 10, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Here's where I want to say. It's important to remember that asking, seeking, and knocking is about the pursuit of God and his kingdom. Despite how some preachers and others might misuse verses 9 and 10, this is not a pursuit of health and wealth and prosperity. And all we have to do is just follow along with Jesus, and we'll figure that out quite quickly, because Jesus himself was faithful in pursuing God's kingdom, and it led him to Jerusalem, where he is crucified on a cross. That's not health and prosperity, is the way the world sees it. That's to be nailed to the cross, be thought of as just another failed insurrectionist, where Rome gets to say, we win again, you are the consummate loser, be done. Except the good news is that God did not leave his son to rot in the agony of death. By the power of the Spirit, God raised Jesus from dead, and that tomb is empty. Church, that's good news. The tomb is empty. Now, we have nothing more to fear, because the worst that could ever be done, death, has been defeated by God in Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have nothing to fear. The tomb is empty, and it's the same Spirit that God the Father gives to those who ask him. The Spirit that, by the power of the Spirit that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, that is the same Spirit that God gives to those who ask. The text says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, praying this prayer is about forming us so that our heart's desire is set on God and his kingdom. And as we pray this prayer, God is going to give us his Spirit so that we can follow Jesus and live out this kingdom as participants. That's the good thing, because God's will, done here upon earth as it is in heaven, comes by God's people doing God's will here on earth as it is done in heaven. And that's what God gives us his Spirit for, so that we can learn to follow Jesus, learn how to love God by loving other people, loving our neighbors, even the ones we don't like, even the ones that annoy us, even sometimes people in our very own household that get on our nerves at times. That never happens, right? The key to pursuing God and his kingdom comes by praying the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray. And in turn, God responds by giving us his Spirit so that we have everything that's necessary for living as followers of Jesus, participating in the kingdom of God. Now, here's where I need to bring my pastoral sensibilities into this matter about prayer. Most of you know that my wife and I have a son, Kenny, who passed away. And we prayed for him. From the moment my wife was told she was pregnant, we began praying for our son, Kenny. And all our prayer was is that God will give him health and let him grow up to be a servant of God. Nothing selfish, nothing like God make him the, you know, left-handed pitcher, because I know that left-handed pitchers in the major league make lots and lots of money. Make him 6'4". That's what I played baseball, and I wanted to be 6'4", because the difference between 6'4 and 6 feet that I am is the difference between home run power and warning track power. They don't pay you for warning track power in baseball. But I'm serious. We prayed for our son, and for reasons I don't know and don't understand, Kenny wasn't allowed to live. And I mention this because I know that some of you have prayed for loved ones. Loved ones who are sick. Loved ones who are injured. You prayed for them, whether they be a brother, a spouse, so forth. And yet, they never got well. In fact, some of them died. Others of you have prayed perhaps for your own health, for your marriage, and so on, and yet the struggles persist and continue without any relief, and that's disappointing. It hurts. I know. And on the worst days, it's beyond frustrating. Sometimes I wonder, is God really in control? If God's in control, why doesn't he heal? Where's the deliverance from such suffering? And I don't know the answer to that question. I wish I did, but I'm just going to be honest. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not one who believes that God causes everything that happens to happen. Several years ago, I was asked to come speak at a funeral for a 13-year-old boy that ended his own life. And I had someone, another pastor of all people, come up to me and say, well, we just have to chalk this up to being God's will. And it angered me. And I just looked at him and said, what part of God's will has a 13-year-old ending his own life with a gun? You look rather dumbfounded. Yeah, be dumbfounded. Not everything that happens in this life is God's will. And death is never God's will. God is working at work in Jesus Christ to defeat death. I don't know why sometimes people don't get well. But I don't believe it's God's will for people to get cancer and die. I don't believe it's God's will for marriages to fall apart, or for people suffering lifelong from everything from abject poverty to chronic depression to never get any relief. The reasons are beyond my understanding. I do believe that God allows bad things to happen, and I don't understand that all for sure. But what I know and what I do try to do is keep praying. Keep praying. Which includes praying the Lord's Prayer. Knowing that God has given us His Spirit. And if we keep praying, then perhaps we can remain in pursuit of God and His kingdom with reliance upon God through His Spirit. And I trust, that's faith. I trust that God will lead us into the fullness of His kingdom when His crucified, resurrected, and exalted Son, Jesus the Christ, returns in glory to make all things new. So keep praying. Even on the days when it's difficult, keep praying. Even when you don't understand what's going on, keep praying. And just trust God, even when you don't understand. So here's what I want to do, how I want to close this message this morning. First, I want to challenge us to make praying the Lord's Prayer regularly. Perhaps when you wake up in the morning, maybe when you go to bed at night and you're praying. Maybe when you're taking the dog, like me, for a walk. I have a large dog. Jury's out on who walks who, but we go on walks. And it's a great time for praying. It's a great time for reflecting on my day. What's going on that I like, what maybe I wish was different. And for keeping my mind set on God and His kingdom. So I want to challenge us to make praying the Lord's Prayer a regular habit. And so I'm just telling you, at least for a week, do this for a week. Once a day, pray the Lord's Prayer. Use that time when you wake up or going to bed or walking the dog or whatever it is you do to pray and pray the Lord's Prayer. And then I want to invite you to stand with me and let's pray this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. We're going to sing now.